Does it do any good to get upset? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Does it do any good to get upset? Well, all of us have been upset from time to time. I mean, you know, sort of hard to be human and not to be upset from time to time. But what are we upset with? Are we upset with others, or are we upset with ourselves? What is it that we're upset about? Are we upset about circumstances, or are we upset about principle? If you're upset about circumstances, well, have at it. Because you're just playing with the clouds and batting the clouds around and getting nowhere. Because circumstances will always be changing and always be different from whatever you expect and be whatever they are. Now, if you're complaining about principle, or if you're complaining about the rule or the program, then that's perhaps a little different thing. Now, if you complain about the program, you have every right in the world to complain about the program if other people are not doing what they're supposed to do on the program. So, if you have a program that said speed is 50 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour or whatever, and people are not driving that, then you have a right to complain. And in fact, the state government authorizes you to complain. They say on the back of their state cars and on their police and fire department cars, they say, if you see someone violating the law, call this number. If you see someone doing something wrong on the freeway, call this number. You know, because they want to know. They want to know who's doing something wrong. And of course, if somebody cuts you off, you know, and because you're driving erratically yourself and you're irritable, you are unhappy, and you've got all sorts of problems in your life, and so someone cuts you off and you get just tanked off to beat the band, so you call up the police department and tell them that this guy did this, and really, it was nothing. It was you. It was you not paying attention to your driving. You're just driving along, sort of in a blah, blah, duh, D-U-H type of thing, you know, which is kind of silly. And we all do that. We all do that. We're all driving along sort of in a stupor. And then we are upset for other people because they're driving a little more rapidly or a little more consciously than we are. And so we get upset. Now, are they violating the principle or are we violating the principle? What is the number one rule about doing anything in life? And this is a very important rule. What is the number one rule about doing anything in life? What's the number one rule about doing anything, whether it's baking a cake or driving the car or making the dishes, you know, making the beds, sweeping the sidewalk, building a house, flying an airplane? What's the number one rule? Anybody?
Being yourself and having fun.
Yeah, being yourself and having fun. But the number one rule is pay attention. Give it your attention. If you're going to drive a car, drive a car. If you're going to build a house, build a house. If you're going to hammer a nail into a board, hammer the nail into the board. Don't slobber it on your finger, you know. Don't hit your finger with the hammer. That's stupid, isn't it? Isn't that stupid? That's because you're not paying attention. And if you're driving carelessly, then people around you are driving carelessly. Now, I guarantee you, if you drive harmoniously and properly, everybody on the road is driving harmoniously and properly. That's the principle. If you're driving carelessly, thoughtlessly, irresponsibly, then everybody else on the road is driving carelessly, thoughtlessly, and irresponsibly. You're a reflection. It is that way. It cannot be other. Now, is that your fault? Yes. Because of one thing, you're not being yourself and having fun. If being yourself and having fun is sleeping, well, then go to bed. Or lay down in the field or do whatever you want, but don't be in the flow of traffic. If Ellen is driving home and she feels a little sleepy, what does she do? She steps on the gas to get home quicker. No. She is not able to be totally responsible. She's not able to give it her total attention. So she pulls off on the side of the road, and she turns on Beethoven and goes to sleep. And she doesn't sleep long. She goes solid to sleep. And then whenever she hears the music stop, she wakes up. And she says, okay, 5 minutes, and she's ready to go again. Mm-hmm. Now, is she taking responsibility? Mm-hmm. Is she being herself and having fun?
Yep.
Now, driving when you're dead tired, or driving when your eyes just don't want to stay awake, is that having fun? No. You feel very insecure. You feel very uncertain of yourself and very, very unsure of exactly what's going on. And you're not comfortable at all. Mm-hmm. So what do? You stop and you take a nap. You say, a woman stopped by the side of the road by herself? Don't worry about it. If you think some man is going to try to get you there, he'll get you. It's not a matter of whether you deserve it or don't deserve it. If you think someone is going to molest you or hurt you, they will. You create them. Now, what does Ellen say? I mean, here she is, one of the most desirable women of the 21st century. And so she's parked by the side of the road. Miss Good Looking. Her aura is I am fabulous. But Ellen has another aura about her. I am untouchable. I am untouchable. She said, I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. And everything I do is great. And so, does she even think that somebody's going to come along and make a proposal to her? No. Does she even think that somebody's going to do something untoward toward her? No. Because she knows principle. And she doesn't use principle against herself. And many of us, we use principle against ourselves whenever we worry, oh, I wonder if I got enough gas to get to town. I wonder if I have this, or I wonder if this will work out. I wonder how my tires they're getting, they need to be replaced or need to be fixed. I wonder if they'll get... Don't say that. My car is always in exquisite repair. And when my inner voice says to me, Herb, change your tires, I change them. When my inner voice says, Herb, there's the red lights flashing on your dashboard there, that means that within the next couple thousand miles, you better have that oil changed or something like that. And that's about it, you know. And nothing more than that. It's not imperative, but it says, hey, wake up, it's time to have the car serviced. You know, not yesterday or instantly, but it's time to have it serviced. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's this moment. It's just saying, hey, you've reached the beginning of your marginal time. You got 30,000 miles more to go before you got to have it serviced. No, you got to have a couple thousand miles before you got to have it serviced, but it's the time to do it. So, but you have no tension, no feeling of anxiety. You follow the principle. What the principle is, what, Ellen?
Pay attention.
Service the car. Pay attention. Pay attention to the cues that come to you. Ellen was driving along and hearing clink, 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 and the left front hubcap was making noises because it wasn't put on properly. And one car company put it on, and they didn't know what they were doing because they didn't know what they were doing because they didn't ever do that because Ford always did that. Those hubcaps were only done at Ford, and they didn't do it. And so they broke two sets of hubcaps for her, putting them on, which they didn't know how to do it. They should have just said, hey, we don't know how to do it. Go to Ford. They know how. And so finally she went to Ford, and she said to the dealer, my hubcap is doing this. And he said, well, let me take a look. So he came out and he says, oh, how about that? And he took it off right away. And he took it in. He says, well, da-da. And then he brought it out. And she says, oh, please, Mr. Ford, man, will you put it in? And he says, sure, glad to do it, sweetheart. You know, most beautiful look out of the 21st century. You know, I mean, I don't have a chance to wait on a woman as gorgeous as you are. And so he sat down and a big, big guy, and as he squatted with his back end toward me, I was sitting in the driver's seat, his shirt went up and his pants went down, you know, and out came his crack, you know. And I thought to myself, my goodness sakes. And so I looked over at Ellen, and Ellen was watching him put the tire on, the cub cap on, nothing else. She's a lady of quality. And so I watched her too. And so he put it on, and then he stood up, and everything went back into shape. And then he said, "It's a pleasure to help you." And she said, "Well, thank you very much. You are wonderful." And with his face reddening because he hadn't been complimented by the most beautiful woman of the 21st century before, he really appreciated it. And so he went about his business, and we got in the car and drove, and there was no more clinking. Now, Ellen could have been irritated. Arr! She could have been all upset. You know, why did this other company mess me up? Well, when you go to a company that it's not their job to do it, and you get them to do something that's not for them to perform, you may or may not have a good job. But the man from Ford, he came in, and he went pop, 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 and it went right into place. And over at Discount Tire, where they worked on it twice and broke it twice, they took their wrenches, they took their hammers, they took their thing, forcing it, forcing it, forcing it. And because the Ford man knew what to do, it was perfect. But the Discount Tire man, he didn't know what to do, and he tried his very best, but he should have said, "I do not know how to do this. You'd be better to take it to Ford." And so, did you ever hear of Miracle on 43rd Street, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened? Santa Claus said, "Oh, you can go over to this store. They've got what you want." Mm-hmm. "Oh, you can go to this store." And then Mr. Macy heard about it, and he says, "What? He's telling people to go to other stores?" And other people start coming into his office. "Mr. Macy, you are the most wonderful store in the world, telling people to go to other stores when you don't happen to have what they want. I'm never going to be, I'm always going to shop here at Macy's because you're great, you know." And you see, this is what happens when you're big enough to say you don't know something and let someone else do it. Now, I don't mean that you and I should say we don't know something. But I'm saying that when you say you don't know something, then don't do it. Now, could the man at Discount Tire have done it? Sure. Could Ellen have said, "You know how to do it. There's a special trick to it, and I invest you with the knowledge of that trick right now. You know exactly how to do it." He would say, "Okay, yeah, okay." And he wouldn't know that he didn't know, but she knew, and he knew because she knew, you know. But that's the way it works. That's the way the principle works. And this is what we want to do, to work the principle. This is what we want to do, always be in charge. Now, can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be always in charge? Can you like yourself so much that you know, that you know, that you know how to do it? I spoke to the man today about that too.
Ranger.
Hmm?
Ranger.
The ranger, the forest ranger, yeah. Hmm? That's what I always wanted to be, a forest ranger, when I was a teenager and a young adult. I never quite made it, but a forest ranger. I thought that'd be fun, to sit in those towers and do those things, you know. Wouldn't that be interesting? But I ended up doing far more interesting things than I ever dreamed I would do. And every day I'm doing far more interesting things than I ever dreamed I'd do. Because each day is a new adventure into my inner self. And each day is a new adventure because I
am myself and have fun.
I am myself and I have fun. And I am
number one.
And
I'm God.
Like me.
I am God and I like me. Yeah. Now see, aren't those simple phrases, just four of them? And they really wrap it up, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, my loves, as one God to another, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Love you.